the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. I saw.
The first reading is from Acts. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God. Word of life. Let us pray Psalm 118 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shout.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the mercy.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
This is the day of the
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to
God. Gospel according to Luke. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but they went in. They did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the sinners, to be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw that the linen cloths were by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. The disciples thought that the women were telling them an idle tale. You've heard that adage that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It's too good. It can't be true. It can't happen. It's poppycock. It's a lie. You're not telling us the truth. Jesus, their friend, had died on Friday, and now it was Sunday. They had been with him on Thursday night when one of their companions, one of their own group, had turned him over to the authorities. They had been with him on Thursday night, and they watched from the distance as Jesus was arrested, as he was tried, as he was convicted, and as he was sentenced to death. They watched from a distance on Friday as Jesus was nailed to a cross where he suffered and died. They watched from a distance and saw their friend Joseph from Arimathea take that body down from the cross, wrap it in linen cloths, and put it in a tomb that was in that garden, a new tomb that had never been used. They had watched. They knew exactly what had happened. Jesus was dead. And we all know dead stay dead. What was this tale that the women were telling them now? Women, delirious, crazy. They came and told this disciples that Jesus was risen. It's too good to be true. An idle tale. Now, if you're able to read Greek, and you can take your New Testament off the shelf and read it in the Greek, you will see that in the Greek, the disciples don't say, oh, we think that's an idle tale. What the disciples say is, or what the Greek passage says, and the disciples thought it was all bleep. I bet you didn't think that you would hear the preacher get bleeped on a sermon on Easter morning. It's really out of place, isn't it? Maybe even a little bit shocking, maybe alarming. My clergy friends told me that I shouldn't say that word. And so I'll just say that the disciples thought it was all hogwash. I don't know about you, but this response by the disciples to the women is a little out of place to me. Incongruous, really. In the midst of death and mourning, these disciples were so callous that they were so dismissive of these women, even offensive, calling them liars. I mean, even if they didn't believe it, they could have at least heard them out. Maybe given them a hug, lent them a listening ear, paid attention to them. But here's the thing. That idle tale position seems to be prevailing in the world these days. Lots of people, maybe even some of us here, for sure some of us here at this church this morning, take that idle tale position. I met a woman at the grocery store yesterday. I was wearing my collar, And she said, we started chatting, and she said, oh, that's right, it's Easter. We don't do Easter at our house anymore. We got too old for the Easter bunnies, so there isn't any Easter for us. Oh, but I still like Peeps. Another man that I was talking with said that we were talking about different organized religion. And he said he was not really a believer in organized religion, and that he was a Christer. And I said, pardon me? And, you know, I thought he was going to say, like, Methodist or, you know, what, Jewish or, you know, whatever denomination, whatever. And he said, no, I'm a Christer. You know, I go to church on Christmas and Easter. Christer. And, oh, I got it. He named himself a Christer. Lots of people hear the words of the women who went to the tomb and think it's all baloney, an idle tale, hogwash. Now, I'm not being condescending, and I don't think at all that the writer of the gospel was being condescending either, because that condescending attitude, that idle tale opinion, is the exact opinion that was held by Jesus' most dedicated followers. If that's our opinion, we're in good company. The dedicated followers who thought the news of the resurrection was an idle tale would soon become the greatest evangelists, the greatest apostles, the greatest storytellers of a story that we are still telling 2,000 years later. But the real reason they shouldn't be faulted for holding that idle tale position is because for them, it wasn't the final position. What changed their minds? How did they go from regarding the news of the resurrection as being so much humbug, an idle tale, to believing and experiencing the risen Christ, being in amazement? Peter, who had just 2 days before this Easter morning had denied that he even knew Jesus, decides now, in his unique style, to choose action when he hears the news. Luke writes that the women told their experience to all the apostles, and all the apostles thought it was crazy. Peter was in that group. He must have heard that as a wild story and experienced that disbelief. Yet in the very next verse, we're told that he chooses to act, to run to the tomb to see for himself, in spite of his misgivings, in spite of his doubt, in spite of his knowing that it's too good to be true. I think all of us, the Christers, the doubters, those who have believed in the risen Christ all of their lives, those who celebrate Easter just because they like the candy, all of us can take to heart Peter's choice to act on the news of the resurrection, to go and see for oneself and to be amazed. But how do we do that today? How do we go and see and be amazed at what has happened? Maybe it means that we have to suspend, if only for a few minutes in time, the despair that we feel at the headline news of terrorism every time we turn on the news or look at the paper. Maybe we have to suspend, if only for a few minutes, the chaos that surrounds our political conversation, all that drama that's going on in our country. Maybe if just for a few minutes we can move our focus from ourselves and our distractions and our worry about our own health and our finances and those things that have power over us, maybe we can move that focus from ourselves to others, if only for a few minutes. And then to act like Peter, to run to the tomb, to look and to be amazed, to act prayerfully in our everyday life on the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we lean. We lean toward hope in the face of death and terrorism and destruction. We lean toward hope in the face of drama and distractions and ill health. We lean toward hope in the face of idle tales and lies and baloney. We lean toward hope. This is the resurrection choice. We make a space for the risen Christ in our lives. Instead of shaking his head at what he heard as an idle tale by these women, Peter went running, and he found what was probably already known in his heart. The tomb was empty, and he was amazed. And now this is our job at Easter, to repeat that crazy tale, to echo the women, to proclaim the resurrection, to lean toward hope and give a little space for that risen Christ to touch our hearts and to move us all from that idle tale position to take a running leap of faith. So no matter what your life situation, lean toward hope and live in that hope and amazement. You are loved by God. You are loved by God who doesn't give up, who won't let go, who won't let anything, even death, separate us from that love. Amen.